like to do two things today each year. First is to set up the sugyas, that we're going to be learning today till Rosh Hashanah. The sugyas are connected to each other, and they're quite complicated. So first I'd like to give over the basic yesodas in the, it's really four, it's even four or five sugyas that are woven together all under the klal of Meitav. Because indirectly they all touch on Meitav, and this will take us till the Mishnah Daf Tes. Mitzvashem, after we'll leave by Daf Tes, ready after Rosh Hashanah time, we'll learn something else, probably in Yonim of Sukkah. And then after Sukkot, Mitzvah Shem, the winter's man will start from the Mishnah Daf Tes, because these are heavy in Yonim, and I'd like to divide up each day of next week, except with Rav Menachem, when he'll give a shiur. So, but our shiur Mitzvah Shem will be on these heavy sugyas of Meitav. So now I want to give you a hakdoma so that it'll make it easier for you, and you'll see how one sugya connects and yet is separate also. If not, it could be very confusing. The second part of the shiur is to work on the Gemara itself, the Machlokes, which is really the first sugya. Okay. Alright. Till now, since we're learning Baba Kama, we've been learning about the Mazikim, how the damage was done. These sugyas, from now on till the Mishnah, all have to do with the last chiddush of the Mishnah. The first Mishnah that we talked about at the beginning of the Zman, after it says the Arba Ovis, and it says the Toldas, and the Tzara Shove, the Mishnah finishes off, Shehizik Kava Mazik L'Shalem Tashlumi Nezik V'Mei Tavoris. The last chiddush of Rebbe HaKadosh in the Mishnah was that when you pay for the damages, you have to pay V'Mei Tavoris. Sounds very simple, but again, I'm asking if Kedai get down the Yesodis. You'll see later on that it'll help you to understand the complicated Yonim Lev. The Meitav Oretz is a chiddush. You have to pay the best of the land. If I was learning Baba Kama and all I learned the Mishnah, I would come up with two chiddushim in payment for damages. One is you have to pay land. You have to pay land. Does not say in the Mishnah about paying anything else except land. The Meitav Oretz. The second chiddush is, what kind of land? The Meitav Oretz. That it's not just enough to pay up land, it's you have to pay the best land. Now, these two chiddushim, the first chiddush, where does this come from? Where did Rebbe HaKadosh get it from? It came from the Shein V'Regel. By the mazik of Shein V'Regel, it says, Meitav Sadeu, U'Meitav Karmi Yishalim. So if you learn the posik in Shein V'Regel, remember, that's where the Mishnah comes from the mazik of Shein V'Regel, I would learn these two chidushim. You got to pay land, and you have to pay Meitav, the best land. Now, the first chiddush, Rashi speaks out in the Mishnah, that first chiddush is false. It's a falsha chiddush. You do not have to pay land. So you see already, Rashi in the Mishnah is teaching us that the pusik doesn't mean that you can only, that the nizik has the right to demand land. The nizik wants to become a real estate broker. It's only if the mazik pays land, then he has to pay meitav. But it's a chiddush that when it says land in the Mishnah, and it says land in the Torah, it does not mean only land, but I'm just showing you how you have to develop each little step as a chiddush. Rashi, what else could he pay? What other choices do you have besides saying land? There are two other choices. And that's going to be another special sugya. Sunday, Mitzvah will be working on it, and hopefully at the end of the week. There's two different, before the Mishnah, Daf Tes, there's two different sugyas about other types of payments. One payment is simply cash. Besides land, it's possible to pay cash. And the other type is metaltalin. That means it's not land and it's not money. What is it? Metaltalin, anything. a hat, a pen, a watch. Now that is in a separate category by itself. So we have, what comes out like this, the Mishnah says you have to pay land. And Rashi says, don't necessarily only land. What else? You could either pay money or metalkalin. Now, so now getting back to the Mishnah teaches us you have to pay metav oritz. When you pay land, it has to be metav. What about the other two types of payments? If you pay money or if you pay metalkalin, pashtis, you'd say there's no din of metav. Because metav is only metav sadeyu and metav karma. This halacha of metav, the best, is applying only to land. There's different qualities of land.
Everything else is.
I'm saying poshut. Poshut, you don't see that.
You learn metav from karka.
No, wait. Karka does not mean anything. No, wait a minute. Wait. Poshut karka means karka. How do we know that you can pay money if it says in the Torah only land? Because it says by bor kesef bechlal. We learn that from another mazik. By bor it says kesef yoshiv liba'olof, can pay cash. So from bor we learn out it's possible to pay money. By the mazik of Shein Varegel we learn out you pay land. And daf hey, if you remember on daf hey, we have exeris shava tachas nesina yishalim kesef. If you remember after all the list of all the avos, the Gemara says all the avos kulam ka avos. Why are they all called avos? Because they all get metav. If it only says by Shein Varegel, how do we know that Karen pays metav? How do we know that Aish pays metav? Because there's exeris shava. There's four words that are found by all the chof dalad mazikim. So those four words connect the payments of metav to all mazikim. So we take from Shein Varegel and we stretch it that all mazikim pay land metav. So the same thing we can stretch kesef yashiv ba'olam. I think by Karen I might also say kesef. You have to see kesef.
It says kaspa.
Kaspa, yeah, good. So it says v'chosu es kaspa. Also, you find an inyan of money. So we take, since we have a gzeirah shavah, which connects all the 24 mazikim, so now already we know that you could pay land by all the mazikim. You have a choice of land, which you have to pay the best of the land. You also have a choice of paying cash, because we learn out from bor, kesef. Now what about the third level? Where does this new level come in of paying with a watch? So on that's a sugya we're going to have on Sunday. The Torah says an extra word, kesef yoshiv. Yashiv, the Torah said you could return money, so the Gemara makes a drasha, and the Torah added the word Yashiv, l'rabbi shav kesef. That even if it's not cash, but anything that's worth cash, you can pay also. And Wemela, once it says it by one mazik, we use the gzera shava to extend it to all the mazikim. So b'kitzer, you hear Yossi, that's getting back to your point. So by land, it says metavor. By the other two, it doesn't say anything about metav. For instance, coins. If there would be better coins and worse coins. Or by metaltalin, there's certainly better quality watches, weaker quality watches. They might have the same value, but they're better and worse. L'chayra, there's no din of metav. You'll see later on in the Gemara, a new chiddush, that it's that even, it is, the, that we takadu stretch that point of metav, that we learn that land, when you pay land, it has to be the best land. You will see that it does somehow connect, that even when you pay metaltalin, that metaltalin also has a din of metav. So I'm just showing you that
metaltalin is metav.
Beta, yeah, but metaltalin. You see that because it's metav. You see, you need metav.
All metaltalin.
That's right. That's a svara. I don't want to confuse you. I'm just showing you that that's how we have a lot of sugyas. The main sugya of metav refers to paying land. That when the mazik decides to pay up his debts with land, he doesn't want to use money, or he doesn't have money, he doesn't want to use other things, metalgon, or he doesn't have, and he decides to pay with land, then the Mishnah says, b'metav oritz. So now getting back to it, it's interesting. The Mishnah, Rebbe HaKadosh says, b'metav oritz, the best of the land. Rebbe didn't say b'metav. Rebbe HaKadosh said, metav oritz. So let's stick now, assuming that the din of paying the top quality is by land. And we also know that there are other possibilities to pay, but we, our sugya today, Rabbi Ki, Rabbi Shmuel, is in the inyan of land. Metav. That's, okay. Now, in land itself, there are three sugyas. After we've talked about other types of payment, money or entitlement, and when a man goes to pay land, and the Rebbe HaKadosh says he has to pay meitav, so there are three distinct separate sugyas about this. One today, which is simply a machlokes Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Shmuel, is it the meitav of the mazik or the meitav of the nizik? When it says in the Torah, poshib shan posik, that's one sugya, which hopefully we'll get back to. But there are another two sugyas, which I just want to just touch to show you how much there is to work on, and later on next week you'll see how it, one sugya goes into the other. The next, it's a sugya we'll have probably on Monday. The next sugya in Meitav itself, land, when a man goes to pay land, and he has to pay best land, there's a sugya called Bishaloi Hein Shaman, Bishaloi Lamein Shaman. Maybe you learned it second Seder. Bekitzer, it means like this. That let's say even in Rebbe Kiva, even in Rebbe Kiva, who says that it's B'meitav HaMazik, that the Mazik has to give the best of his quality, does that mean his, in other words, Meitav means the top quality that he owns, or the top quality that the world considers good? But if he happens to be an extra rich person, and he happens to have an extra good, which in the normal, it's much better than the norm. It's called Idyas the Alma, Meitav land. So that's a shaila in the whole Gemara. How do we measure? Do we measure according to his standards, or do we measure according to general standards? That's a sugya. And the last sugya is about Meitav, at least the one that we're going to speak on, is like this. Okay. The Torah gave a parsha that the mazik has to give from his best land. It's better we pass him like Rabbi Kiva anyway. So let's go. We know you have to give it his land. Okay. Now the question is, let's say Reuven had different kinds of land, you know, better, worse, so on. And then his animal ran up a bill of $1,000. His animal went wild and smashed. And then, 2 days later, he sold his land to someone else. He sold the land. So, the question is, now, does the halachas, the law is, that when if he sold all his land, the din is that the nizik can go to the buyer of the land and take back the land. Even though the man says, what do you mean, I bought it, I didn't damage you, go, it's tough. It's called a shibud. That's called a shibud. A shibud means that since the damage took place before you sold the land, it's called a mortgage, like a lien in English, L-I-E-N. A lien. That means that since Reuven owned property at the time that Reuven's animal gored, so the property like becomes like an underwriter, like comes responsible to pay up the debts of the owner. There's something in the land. He gets like a hang the grip on the land, and Christ. Yeah, it's called achrayus, means the responsibility. But in land, it's called a shibud. That means it's like a slave. The land is enslaved to make sure that the debt gets paid up. Now, metalkalin, if he has a pen and he sells the pen, the nizik cannot go take the pen away from the buyer. There's no such a responsibility on movable items. But on land, which land is not, you can't just run away, you can't hide it. On land, there's called a shibud. Where does this come from? There's a big machlokes in Bava Basra, shibuda de araisa, or shibuda de rabbanon. It's a machlokes. Where does this come from, this lien? Who creates this lien on land? And how come he can pull it away from the buyer? So if you hold shibuda de araisa, that means they have psukim to teach us that. They have psukim. That land gets that special power that any debts that a man owes, if he owns land, his land becomes responsible. He can't just sell it and get out of it. If you hold shibuda lav deraisa, which is another way of saying shibuda derabbanan, that means minat Torah, if he sold it, he could say tough luck. Sorry, I sold it, it's not mine anymore. Derabbanan, because they want the people to live peacefully, and people should have where to collect their debts from. So the Rabbanon said that when a man has land and he owes anybody money for whatever reason, anytime he owes money, his land gets the responsibility, and like a lien, there's like a chain attached to the land, unless he pays off. If he pays off with cash, then of course the land could stay by the buyer. But if he doesn't have cash or he just runs away, the fellow who's supposed to get the money can take the lokeach, the buyer of the land, he could take him to court and say, you had no right to purchase that land unless my debts get paid up first. And since the fellow who owes me the money doesn't want to pay me, you give me back the land and you go fight out and you get your money back.
It's the buyer's, it's the calf's fault because...
Well, you should have known. Should have checked that. There's a whole question. Yeah, all right, so there's a whole question. It's this whole shtar, achrayas, without achrayas. Okay. But again, I don't want it to go off. I just want to show you now. There's the whole question, the whole sugya, if a mazik had different kinds of land. And he had idyas and zibur, beninus. And ziburis, he had all kinds of land. And he sold those lands to someone else. Now the nizik wants to come and get his idyas. The nizik says, Meitav sudeyu, sorry, buyer, you have to give me back idyas. He sold. I'm just giving you very simple. It gets complicated later. But the whole question is, can the lekeach say to him, now I'm sorry, you better take the beninus? Does the lekeach have to give idyas? In other words, just like when the land was originally by the mazik, the Torah says meta. The Torah says that a man has to pay with the best land.
The Torah says it's okay for the mazik to go get from the lekeach.
Normally, he has the rights to get paid back in land. The question is, because that's the shibut that he has.
But I'm saying he doesn't have to get it from the mazik anymore. Let's say the mazik sold already.
That's right. I know. Yeah, but the catch is, in the Gemara, Idyas, the top line. Does that din of Meitav also carry along to the buyer or not? And you're going to see that might make a difference, but I don't want to confuse you. The lekeach, if you listen carefully to the sugya later, you'll have a big geschmack. The lekeach has a way how to get out of giving idyas. The lekeach has a chap, which I don't want. It's called ishaskis. That's the name of the sugya. Ishaskis. He tells him, if you keep quiet and take pain, it's good. If not, I'll do such a trick. I'll give back the worst, and in Mela, you won't be able to take it. You'll get worse. So it's a whole tricky setup here.
And he loses money.
Well, if you lose back anyway, he's going to get paid back anyway. So this way, it's a whole trick. So I'm just telling you, it's a very geshmak sugya about whether the law of Meitav applies even when he sells it to a buyer. So I'm just showing you how much there is to work on Meitav. Okay. Now, let's go back. That was just like the first part. I wanted to show you how these various sugyas, and in between there are other complications, but these are the main sugyas that deal with paying up Meitav. Now let's get to the machlokes of the Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. It's a very hard Gemara. I don't think Rabbi Menachem touched on the main machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, and it worked out well. He said on an inyan I wasn't planning to say on. So this way I'll go back, and what we're going to say on is like the first step of the sugya Meitav. The main machlokes Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shmuel, there's some very interesting points. The Gemara itself, we know, but you have to know, we're going to go back to the different steps of the Gemara, which are very different than the final step of the Gemara. What exactly does Rabbi Shmuel hold? That's the difficulty in the sugya. Rabbi Kiva holds is very simple. Rabbi Kiva says that b'demazik, when it says in the Torah, now we're going back, you know, the beginning of this second half of the shiur. Rabbi Kiva's shita is no problem. This whole Amid is dealing with Rabbi Shmuel. Now, why is Taisus explains that Rabbi Shmuel is more? It's the Gemara wasn't sure what Rabbi Shmuel was saying. But first, let's say what Rabbi Kiva says, because that's simple, and we always develop from easier to harder, because you build on. Rabbi Kiva says with the mazik shamina, which means simply, if there was $1,000 damage, the mazik goes over to his various real estate. He has to pick out idyas, the best, and give $1,000 worth of idyas to pay the money, to pay for the $1,000 debt. That's called the mazik shanina. Simple. Because he's paying. If he's paying, and the Torah says meitav, so it's his best. Rabbi Akiva says that's what the pasuk says. Meitav seder yishalim, heich tekom yishalim. He's the one that owes $1,000. He has to give his best. Rabbi Yishmael says b'dinizik shamina. Rabbi Yishmael says that the payment should be the best of the nizik. Now, what does that mean? I mean, if the nizik lost whatever $1,000 worth of potatoes, or you got a whatever. So, what does it mean? You pay the nizik according to the best of the nizik. What the Gemara was not sure. What does that mean? So, the Gemara, there are three steps, three separate steps as to what Rabbi Shmuel meant. And it's kedai, you could shtag a lot just from seeing, because the Gemara could have written simply the last step, the final step. Why did the Gemara go into steps which later on are upgeschlagen? Because the Gemara wants to teach us how to think. The Gemara wants to teach us, you could take the same words and learn, look at it three different ways. So that's how we learn how to go to something deeper. And the Chazal, the Meforshim, the Achrayim, the Gedolei Olam spend time even on the Havaminas, which to us seems so different, because they knew it's also Torah. If it was put into the Gemara, it's just as much Torah as the Maskana, even though we don't pass them that way. But we have the same schar for understanding the Havamin is just as much Maskana. Now, we're going to try to work on each step separately. The first step in the Gemara thought that Rabbi Yishmael took the pasuk of Meitav Sadeyu, or Meitav Karma, and thought, it's a fascinating havamina, that the Torah is telling the mazik, meitav means like this, that even if you damaged the animal ate up, let's say, potatoes, which are worth shvaka potatoes, a farmer had a very bad crop, it was only worth 100. A good crop, a top crop of potatoes for the same amount, is worth, let's say, $200. So the Gemara thought that even though he ate up a bad crop, shkusha, he has to pay $200. That means the Gemara thought that a man has to pay more than the bill is. The bill was only 100. You could only have sold those potatoes for $100. The Torah says you have to pay 200. As if he would have damaged Meitav. That was the Havamina. Meitav the Nizik means that the Torah looks at it, whatever you damage, the Nizik, it's as if you damage the best. Where does that come from? It's not logical. There it is, that it's a knas. Sometimes the Torah wants to make sure people will watch their animals. So the Torah says, you're going to pay double. Pay double. We find by kefil, a man steals, he has to pay double. Where's the I? What? That's a knas. He did something wrong. Again with the Rajba, if you learn that there's an isser, if you learn that a man did something wrong by not watching his animal, so Rabbi Shmuel thought we're going to give him punishment. That even though he only costed 100, we make him pay 200. The only thing is, the Gemara comes along, and the Gemara says like this. And this is the way Tosfos, if you learn Tosfos well, Tosfos says the Gemara held that can't be pshat in the Torah. Why? But since achol shmeina mishalim shmeina, if he ate up a top crop of potatoes, which are worth 200, it doesn't say I have to pay $400. So you see that when it's achol shmeina, the Torah does not give a knas. So it's not logical that only when he eats bad potatoes he should get the knas. As far as not watching the animal, it's just as big a, he did just as something wrong when he ate shmeina also. So if you see by shmeina the Torah didn't give a punishment, that shows us that when it says meitav the nizik, it can't be pshat that we look at it as if he ate the best. Because if not, it comes out that sometimes he gets a knas, sometimes he doesn't get the knas. That's how Tosfos learns pshat, why that it's not logical. Tosfos has two pshatim, but this is the pshat that you could deher a geshmak. A knas is only if it's across the board. Whenever there's a hezek, you pay double. Kefil. Whenever kefil, whatever it is. $1,000 watch, $2,000. $5 watch, $10. But that's why it can't be that just it's only if in certain cases. So that's the way Tosfos explains that can't be the Havamina. But the Havamina was, again, like the Rajva we've mentioned, that Nezikin is an Isser. Every time there's a damage, there's an Isser done. So therefore the Gemara thought if there's an Isser, make him pay as if it was the best. That's the first step. Now the Gemara comes along and says, okay, so what What else could Rabbi Shmuel have meant by Meitav, that Meitav the Nizik, that you have to pay the best? So the Gemara's step number two is, the Gemara thought Rabbi Shmuel learned Pshat in the Pasuk. Again, nothing to do with the quality of land. Again, according so far we thought it was how much to pay. Instead of paying $100 for the potatoes, $200. The next step of the Gemara is still thinking that Rabbi Shmuel learned Pshat in the Pasuk, how much do we make him pay? The value of the damage. Not like Rabbi Akiva, who says it's only a question of quality of land. Rabbi Akiva is the value is no question, according to Rabbi Akiva. The only question, the value, the type of land. But in Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara thinks it's still a question of how much to pay. How much? Dollars and cents. What does the Gemara think? That if it's a suffix, whether he ate Kusha Shmein. So if it's a suffix, then the Torah says, go l'chumra. This is the second step of how the Gemara says, lo yadinan, ikhusha achal ishmein achal. So the Gemara, so the Torah, Rabbi Shmuel learned Pshat in the Pasuk, that if we're not sure, did he eat good potatoes or bad potatoes, we should make him pay the price of good. On this, the Gemara knocks it off, and the Gemara says, that can't be Pshat either. Because if we're not sure if he made $100 damage or a $200 damage, we should say, amoytzimei chaveri olav araya. It's not logical that the Torah should make him pay the higher price, because he's the mochzik on the money, the mazik is holding on to the money, and we're not sure how much was the damage, so you do not say sofik deraisa l'chumra. I'm not going into the shaila, does this fit in with the Rajba or not with the Rajba, that's a separate problem, but the Gemara comes along and says that can't be pshat in the Torah either. It can't be pshat, now listen carefully, because we're getting to a very lumdish point. It can't be pshat in the Torah, because if Rabbi Shmuel said the Torah is telling us meitav karmoi, if we're mesupik, we're not sure was it $100 or $200, so it can't be that the Torah is telling us you have to pay $200. Why can't it be? Because it's going against the klal, it's going against the rule of amoytzi mechaber olavorai. Back to Heiliger Rebbe Yeshua and the Rebbe Kiveger, he's going to learn, when they learned this Gemara. They didn't just go skip to the next piece. Hamotzeh chaver, all right, okay, we've got to change the case. They went deeper. And they have a big kasha here. They say, why does the Gemara say that there's no reason to make him pay $200? If we're not sure, was it bad potatoes only worth $100? Or if it was a top quality grade A potatoes worth $200? Why does the Gemara, this is their kasha, why does the Gemara say simply, Hamoitz Mechavei Olavaraya, he shouldn't have to pay more than $100? There's this, he's moided at least $100 he owes, right? The Mazik is moided that for sure he ate a roll of potatoes. So at least it's worth $100, right? Because even bad potatoes are worth $100. The Shaila between the Mazik and the Nizik is it another $100? Is it worth better potatoes or not? So if you have a suffix, if I tell you owe me $200, and you tell me, Rebbe, $100 I'm asking, but on the $200, but not $200, what did that remind you of? Moide b'miktas. So the halacha is that if a man is moide b'miktas, if a man agrees half, no, he has to make a promise. And if a person can't swear, if a man can't back up his taina with a promise that he's right, now over here he can't back up the promise. Why? Because he doesn't know. So it comes out like this: since the mazik is moider, that at least 100 he owes, and the whole question is he have to pay an extra 100? So there's halacha moider and mitzvah in the Torah.
Why can't he swear?
Because he doesn't know. That's the subject. But since he doesn't know, mitoch sheni yochel lizvam mishaling. So maybe that's what Rabbi Shmuel meant in the pasuk. Meitav tzedei the nizik, that the mazik has to pay meitav as if he damaged better quality potatoes, and therefore he has meitav. That's why he has to pay meitav, since we don't know, and he's a moedav a miktsas. See, if he be kofer hakol, if you don't have mitzia, if a man says that, he says, I don't owe you a penny. It's called kofer hakol. One, the fellow says, the other fellow says, you owe me 200. And he says, I owe you zero. The din is potter. Because, go prove it. But if you're moedim and miktsas already, then already you got to swear. Because you see, you're letting your foot in the, you let his foot in the door. Hold Gemara, daf gimel and bob metziah. Moedim and miktsas, the Torah says, Hashayim ki huzeh. Ki huzeh, if he's moedim and miktsas, he agrees halfway. Either he swears or he pays.
So
wait a minute, we lost Knas back. But here, this is that was the step we finished. Not because of Knas, we want him to pay, because since it's Mursupik, we're not sure if he owes the extra 200. So there's a din of swearing to free himself. And if you can't swear, there's another rule. See, these are all rules. You have to learn more Gemara, you get used to it. Where you can't swear, what do you do if a man can't swear? For instance, he's a Russia or something. I'll give you other examples. So there's a klal, you have to pay.
Because the
Tizer says
in Baba Basra, he said that,
that
most people don't swear because they're scared of the whole thing.
Yeah, but here he can't swear. So that's going to help. He can't swear, so he has to pay. If he can't swear, so even if it doesn't matter. And if you'd be scared, according to the Tizer in Baba Basra, you'd also have to pay. He doesn't want to take the Shvua, Mustami has to pay. So it wouldn't help anyway. But Moshit, here he can't swear. He can't swear because he doesn't know. It's a Gainis, Gainis. It's the Chmamish Mosik Midvash, this Kasha. So the Pnei Yeshua asks, so this is a kasha. So the Pnei Yeshua answers, he says like this, that, and this ties in with another part of the shir. Any time a person damages somebody else, right, and the nizik is trying to get paid back for the damage. Just picture the din Torah over here, right? They're both sitting in court. The mazik says, I don't know, maybe I did good, maybe the animal ate bad potatoes, maybe good potatoes. The nizik says, I want the $200 because maybe it was a good crop. Maybe the nizik knows it was a good crop. The nizik is the farmer, he knows his crops. So Rebbe Kivega speaks out that the nizik was buried. The nizik knows, he claims that it was grade A potatoes worth $200. So the Pnei Yeshua's answer is, the kasha was, so l'chara, the mazik should have to pay full price because he can't swear. The teretz is, what's the nizik trying to get out of the mazik? Just cash? Is the question about cash? Or the question is he's trying to get out, the way we explained, the Torah says that when a man has to pay for damages, he has three choices of paying, right? But the Torah says, meitav sadeu. The question is, if the nizik would like to get paid in the land. So it comes out like this, that's why there's no problem of shavua over here. The reason why the mazik would not be responsible to make a shavua, even though he was made of a miktas, because since the question is, does he have to pay land worth $100 for the bad potatoes, or $200 worth of land if he ate good potatoes? So it comes out that there's no shvua on land when there's einish boin al kviris shibud kakois. There's a klal in hilchos shvua. The only time you have to make a shvua is if I say to you, the moshe, you're watching shtenders, and you say, Rebbe, you're asking for 10 shtenders, I only have 5. I only took 5. So on shtenders, I can make you swear on moedim and miktsas, on something, on cash, on money. But since over here, every payment is a land payment, the question,
it's possible.
No, but there's also a sheba. But to pay for the food, he pays with land. That's the chap. The chap is that since if there's nothing else, there's always a sheba on land, there's land, the mazik's land. Is in question over here, how much of the mazik's land got a lien on the debt? If the debt was $100 for, let's say, you know, a great sea potato, then there's only $100 worth of land, shibud. If he ate the better potatoes, there's $200 worth of land. So it comes out, that's the Pnei Yeshua's teretz, since we're dealing over here with a question of damages. And damages carries with it a lien on land, so there's never a shvua.
So damages carry a lien on land, for making sadeo, right?
Let's make that.
But what does a small money get for shamek sadeo?
So I like your kash, I had it myself. I can't say it's a shtag kash, I had it today. I just said I had it myself. But Tishmak. I mean, you might have. I had the same problem, but it's complicated. Leave it, please. Do me a favor. I myself, I'm not sure. It's a good time. A good time. But let's assume that Rabbi Shmuel knew that there is a shibud from whatever. Even according to this step of the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel also knew that there's a payment in land. Let's assume that. Let's leave it, Yossi. That's a good time. So since there's a shibud karkois, so that's why there's no problem. There's no shvua. If there's no shvua, so that's why the Gemara says he doesn't have to swear because no shvua, because that's the law. You never swear when you're dealing with land, when it's on the land, when it's a question of ein nishboin al kviras shibud kakos. That means kvira. The mazik is saying I don't want to have to pay. He's kofer. I don't want to pay the whole amount. Whole amount of what? Whole amount of land, because in every damage, payment of damage, there's a din of paying karka. So mamela, that's why there's no shvua. Right, the Rebbe Kiveger has a whole shaila on this, a whole big lumdus. Maybe Rebbe Shmuel is talking about in a case where the mazik has no land. Well, he has no land. If he has no land, he's penniless. He lives in a shelter. He rents. He's renting would be a whole question. Even renting is not called really having land. It's not his land. That's where Ricky Vega brings down this Shaila. I'm just showing you. I have a few other points. So, but this is a very beautiful pilpul, so to speak. A big lumdish Shaila in the step of the Gemara. The Gemara finishes off Hamoitze Mecha. That's why Hamoitze Mecha Vera Olva Raya. So that's why the Gemara had to find a different pshat in Rabbi Shmuel. Again, Bekitzit. The Gemara was thought that Rabbi Shmuel was teaching us that when the mazik is not sure how much he damaged, he has to pay the higher amount as if b'meitav anizik, as if he damaged the higher amount. So the Gemara explains, there's no reason to have to do that, because ha'moitzim echaveh ol v'raya. The only kasha of the Pnei Yeshua was, why not? Maybe the reason he has to pay the higher amount is because really he should have had to swear. And since he's not sure, he can't swear. So that's why he has to pay. And the answer to that is, since we're dealing with land there, he doesn't have to swear. If he doesn't have to swear, it's a simple suffix. If it's a simple suffix, there's no moed of a mitzvah. What? Therefore, I'm going to say, right, right. Now let's just go to the last step. Kisser, it's time, just about. So the Gemara finishes off, and the Gemara says that, what's Pshat and Rabbi Shmuel? Pshat and Rabbi Shmuel is, no, we're not. Rabbi Shmuel is really agreeing to Rabbi Kiva that when it says Meitav, it doesn't mean more value, more money. Meitav, better money. It's the same money. It's going to be the same $1,000 like Rabbi Kiva. Machlokes is quality, not quantity anymore. Quality of land. Rabbi Kiva says you look at the quality of the mazik, his best land, and you give the $1,000 or the $100 for the potatoes. Rabbi Shmuel also agrees you only have to pay $100 of the potatoes for the lower, for whatever potatoes he damaged. But you go according to the better land of the Nizik. In case, so the Gemara says that you only have to match the top of the Nizik. And if, according to Rabbi Kiva, if the Mazik has better quality himself, he has to give his better quality. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's a kula. Now, listen carefully. We'll have just time maybe for one another. According to this, Rabbi Shmuel is a kula. It's a nizik shaminan. It's a kula. Poshut, it's a zikr, a kula.
Oh,
that's right.
But isn't it the same thing as Tysus sometimes?
No. So look, you know, you look in Tysus. Okay. It's very late. I really don't want to keep you, even though the whole day, we missed a whole hour shir. It's not, but, and lunch is downstairs anyway, and whatever. The kids said, let me just give you this interesting point. Pashtis Rabbi Shmuel is easier. Because according to Rabbi Shmuel, you only, if the mazik, as good as he has, he only has to match the best of the nizik. And even if the nizik has better stuff than the mazik, he doesn't have to go out and buy better stuff. So that's why it comes out. It's always a kula. In fact, the Halakha Rashba, Rashba says, Pashtis Rabbi Shmuel is the kula. Because if you only have to match the nizik, that's always going to be easier for the mazik. You picture the cases. Because if the mazik has better, he doesn't have to give his better stuff. And if the mazik has worse, he doesn't have to go out and buy. So that's why it's always a kula. According to Rabbi Kiva, if he has better, he has to give better. In fact, the Halakha Rashba and the Pnei Yeshua in Gittin, the same sugya is in Gittin. A lot of the sugya is in Gittin. So the Rajban, the Pnei Yeshua, ask a very simple question. When you look at the Lashon of Rebbe Kiva, does it seem Rebbe Kiva is Lakula or Lachumra? The Lashon of Rebbe Kiva?
Lakula.
Loibo hakosuv elo ligvois. It's mashma Lakula. So the Rajba says, after all these steps in Rebbe Shmuel, it comes out that Rebbe Shmuel is Lakula. So how does that fit into the Lashon?
Loibo hakosuv elo. We're going to Kalamin over there.
No, we're going to Maskana. Rebbe Kiva is not Maskana. Like Bar Kosev. Rebbe Kiva is arguing on the Emes.
How is that Mashmul
Kuh? Ella. Because Ella. Only this. This no, you only have to pay this.
So it's going to be less.
So, and because of this, there's a Muradik Yechidish. Rebbe Kiva, the Rajba, I'm not sure the Yeshua and Gittin, but the Rajba, I looked at it today. The Rajba says that even after the final step of Rebbe Shmuel's Pshat, that he says Meitav the Nizik means you only have to match the quality of the Nizik's level of land. But there's another machloikis in Rebbe Kiva and Rebbe Yishmael. There's going to be another detail, and in that detail Rebbe Yishmael is Lachumra. What's that detail? Rebbe Shmuel. No, Rajba's trying to explain the answer is Kasha. So he says that really there's in one point Rebbe Shmuel is still going to be Lachumra. He's going to be harder on the Mazik. Even though as far as Meitav, the main Machloik,
there's another
which grows. You have to know how it ties in. But he says that Rebbe Shmuel, there's another point of Machloik is Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Shmuel. For instance, the shaila would be, let's say the animal ate up the potatoes when there were only one third growth. Let's say, now, he ate up one third. If it would have continued to grow the whole way, then the potatoes would have been worth, let's say, $100. Right? Right now, they're only worth $25. Because right now they're only one third or a quarter of the way. So it comes out that there's the Rajba's Mechadish. There'll be a Machlokes, Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Shmuel, how much do you have to pay for these potatoes? Rebbe Shmuel will say you have to pay the full 100, or it's going to be close to it, depending on a whole Gemara in the sixth parak. Rebbe Shmuel is going to say that it's going to be come out you're going to have to pay for much more. According to Rebbe Kiva, you just look the field with the quarter grown potatoes or without the quarter grown potatoes, an empty field. So that'll come out to be $25. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he looks more at the potential that could have grown out from these potatoes. If he would have left it alone, naturally they would have grown. People would pay because naturally they're going to grow. So even maybe it wouldn't be $100, it would be $85 right now. But he looks at it simply on the market. How much would you pay to sell it to animals to eat up unripe potatoes? I'm just pointing out to you, try to see the Rajba inside. the halacha, there will be another machlokes, even in the end of the Gemara, there's machlokes, how much money? Remember I told you the first step was certainly how much money to pay, according to Rabbi Shmuel, and according to the second step, it was also a money question. If you're in Suffolk, the Chiddush of the Rajba is that even the Maskana that we finally learned Pshat in Rebbe Shmuel is it's also a question of money. I just want to half a second because I don't want to make it a separate shmuz. Originally, I had in mind to speak tomorrow, but I'm not sure maybe if Avi Shulman will be here. And even if he's not here, I didn't want to bring it up separately because I felt it's not necessary to make a whole issue.